Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. This past Thursday, I felt as if something of a dark shroud had descended over our country. We've all seen it coming. Things were bad before, but Thursday seemed to be the worst. At times, I was moved to tears as I listened to testimony being given before the Senate Judiciary Committee by Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh. I felt overwhelming sadness for both the Ford and Kavanaugh families. I felt despair for our political system, and I felt anger that two lives and two families were being torn to shreds. I don't presume to tell you who I think you should believe. Regardless of who you believe, we all must admit that we saw raw emotion on display at that hearing. Both people were giving convincing personal testimony. Two stories were presented. One was true and one was false. Either one person was lying or one person was deluded. Someone's testimony on Thursday was not trustworthy. I make it a practice of not offering you sermons that try to persuade you of a political course of action. That's because I think you can be a good Democrat and be a good Christian. I think you can be a good Republican and be a good Christian. I believe there are conservatives who know and follow Christ, and there are liberals who know and follow Christ. And so the concerns that I share with you this morning are not meant to drive you in some political direction. I believe that we can all agree, no matter what your party or affiliation or political ideology, no matter whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, there's something terribly wrong with the way we are conducting the politics of our country. I want to urge you this morning to practice good intellectual hygiene. At a time when so many are uncritically following along party or ideology, I urge you to be different. As the people of God who follow Jesus Christ, I urge you to be thoughtful and prayerful about what is being done in the public arena. Words matter. Words have consequences. Personal destruction is not a loving Christian course of action. This is not how we are meant to follow Christ. And so I speak this morning about words, the power of words, and the credibility of words from a Christian point of view. To be honest with you, I have struggled with this sermon. I felt that something impactful that was significant in the history of our country happened this past Thursday. And though it is good for there to be a conversation in our country around sexual harassment and sexual assault, Thursday did not seem to me to be a healthy way to have that conversation. And so I didn't know how to speak about what happened, and I didn't know how I could not speak about it either. Regardless of who you believe, don't you wish things were different? Don't you wonder, who can I trust? Whose word can you believe? Not just with Ford and Kavanaugh, but in our world, our politicians, presidents, senators, business leaders, people in entertainment, even perhaps your friends, family, colleagues you may know, and sadly, even priests in the Catholic Church, though ministers of all denominations may have moral failures. We live in a world of fake news and accusations of fake news. We live in a world driven by politics, ideology, and agenda. And don't you wish, isn't there something within you that longs for words that are trustworthy, that are true, that bring meaning and substance, words that can be valued, that bring hope and delight rather than despair and destruction. If only we lived in that kind of a world where words did what they should do, convey the heart and the character of the person speaking them rather than be used as tools of manipulation and deception. Words are very important for Christians because we have a story. It's a story of a God who desired to reveal himself to his creatures whom he had made. A God who desired to be known for who he is, glorious in majesty, but also abounding in mercy and love. This God wanted to speak a word so definitive about who he is that he became one of us. He lived our life. He died our death to show us, to reveal to us the goodness, righteousness, and purity of his being. He wanted to speak that word so clearly that he decided to embody the message. He became word to us. And so John, one of his closest friends, writes of Jesus, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is the word of God who came to reveal himself, to reveal the heart of God, not deceive or manipulate. Our readings this morning speak of the power of words. In the Old Testament reading in the wilderness, the Israelites used grumbling and complaining words. "Oh, how great we had it when we were slaves back in Egypt. At least we had meat to eat." And their words caused people to accuse and blame others. God and Moses are blamed for the monotonous meal plan, only manna to eat. Never mind the fact that God miraculously provided that manna to sustain them and delivered them from oppression and slavery. "God hasn't given us anything else to eat but this stupid, miraculous bread of heaven." Their words in our Old Testament reading this morning are words of grumbling that angered God. And in the gospel, Jesus speaks of those who create stumbling blocks for others, speaking words that hinder them from coming to know God. Jesus doesn't explicitly state it, but it's the logical extension of what he says. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. So what if your tongue causes you to sin? One of the implications of the gospel is a warning to those who use stumbling words, that is, words that cause others to stumble. Our other two readings offer something more hopeful. James is telling us to use words to pray, and that words offered in prayer become powerful words indeed. Words in prayer can bring healing to the sick, joy to the heart, and worship and forgiveness of sin when we use them to confess our sins to God and one another. In baptism, in just a few moments this morning, promises, words will be said on behalf of Lucy, and prayers will be offered that those promises can be fulfilled. Psalm 19 really stands out this morning. Psalm 19 speaks of God revealing himself in creation in the verses just before those that were sung this morning. Verses 1 to 6 speak of how the sun and stars speak of the wonders of their Creator. A majestic mountain range, a vivid sunset, a dazzling night sky, the beauty of the sea. Many people find nearness, the peace and presence of God at such, looking upon such scenes. You can come to know God as Creator, as a God of power and peace when you look at the wonders of creation. But the psalmist this morning reminds us you've got to go further. To really know a person, you must look at more than their accomplishments. To really know, you have to hear them express themselves. You cannot know someone. You cannot have a relationship with someone. You cannot really know that someone loves you and cares about you unless they tell you how they feel. We need words to fully understand and appreciate love. We need words for relationship. And so while creation does reveal the glory of God, we need God's words to reveal God's heart. The psalmist speaks using poetic and rapturous words to tell us of the wondrous words that God has spoken. The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. Look at those inspiring, uplifting words of God that speak, as the psalmist tells us, they rejoice the heart, they give wisdom, they enlighten the eyes. The laws and statutes of the Lord are not given because God wants to control us with rules. They're spoken to give joy, inspiration, light, and life. Our Creator, who designed us, knows how we will flourish, and so He has revealed the purity of His heart in His words to guide us how to live that abundant and blessed life. In the New Testament, we have the very words of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, come into the world. And you may wonder this morning, is the Bible credible? There are many today who don't think so. We don't have time to go into the details right now, but please, please talk to me if you want to understand this history. But there is a clear historical line from the church councils that compiled what we have as the New Testament right back to the apostles themselves. Holy people of character, carefully, diligently sought to test the veracity and the credibility of those who wrote the books that are in our New Testament. And those were people of character, willing to die and be tortured, just like Jesus was, in order to share these words and tell the Christian story. The Bible contains the most widely attested, reliable words ever written. And in it, we have what purports to be the very Word of God. And that's just what we long for, isn't it? A reliable word, a trustworthy word, a word that is good and true, life-giving and uplifting. Must we not agree with the psalmist that such divine words are more valuable than gold and great wealth? God's word is the gold standard of communication. And in God's word, we have something more delightful than the most delicious food ever made. Sweeter even than honey. The words of men and women may bring harm, manipulate, provoke, and destroy. There are grumbling words and there are stumbling words. The words of men and women may speak lies and deception. But in Christ, in the Scriptures, there's a beauty, a purity, an inspiring, joy-bringing hopefulness. Are there places in the Bible that are confusing and hard to understand? Of course. We should expect nothing less. If they're truly the words of our infinite Creator given to His finite creatures, difficulties in the Bible suggest its reliability rather than disparage it. And so what can we do? Living as persons of faith in our world today surrounded by people of unclean lips, might I suggest three things. First, don't join in. Do not become part of the problem. Watch your words. Do not speak words that seek to manipulate and control others. Do not speak words that harm. Such words are not fit and proper for the people of God who are seeking to follow Christ. Second, speak the words of Scriptures, the gold standard, sweet, delightful words. Let those words flow from your mouth. Let those words fill your thoughts. These are the words that inspire and revive the soul, enlighten the mind with goodness, righteousness, and purity, the purity of the God who created this world and who loves it. Hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest, memorize the Scriptures. This is a fundamental way to apply the prescription of Philippians 4, to think about things that are honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, lovely, excellent, and praiseworthy. Focus on God's words and fill your mind with those to counteract the life-draining, despairing, and disheartening words that you will hear in this world. Focus on God's word, Jesus, the Word, made flesh, and God's word, the Bible. So don't join in. Speak Scripture, and third, use your speech to talk to God in prayer. Speak more regularly to God in prayer. Talk to Him when you despair of the words you hear from politicians and others in this world. Ask God who is to be trusted and who is not. Speak to God when you're cheerful, in need, or when sick. God has gifted the human race with language so that we may communicate with one another, but most of all, communicate with our Heavenly Father. Words grow relationships. Let your words enrich and grow your relationship with God. So in closing, you may be thinking, all this talk of God's trustworthy, good, and inspiring words, yeah, it sounds great, but maybe it's too good to be true. And for those of you out there who might be thinking that, I close with this. It was the power of words and story that persuaded an entrenched atheist. He and his fellow Oxford professor would take long walks along the paths in the wood near Magdalen College. The atheist would protest and doubt the veracity of the Bible and the evidence for the existence of God. The atheist was dismayed that the world was such a troubled place. But the atheist loved literature and story. The atheist groused that the things he loved most were not real, things he saw, the beauty in story and fantasy. But the friend said that the longing for beauty suggested something. He said, in effect, you'd find it absurd if animals would hunger, but there was no such thing as food to satisfy that hunger. Does not hunger itself suggest something like food exists? Now consider your longing for the good, the lovely, the beautiful that you find in story and literature. Is not the same thing true? Is it not absurd to think that humans would long for pure love and perfect beauty if there was no such thing? The very desire for it suggests something is there. And afterward, the friend, J.R.R. Tolkien, wrote a poem, and he sent it to the atheist, C.S. Lewis, and shortly thereafter, Lewis became a Christian. And so as we consider the hunger in ourselves this morning for a better world, for public discourse, for words of lasting value, for words that inspire and uplift, for words that are true, perhaps, just perhaps, it's the same thing. Perhaps we long for good words because that's precisely how our Creator designed us. Perhaps we were made for wholesome words, for communication, for relationship. Perhaps the more those words fill our thoughts and our minds, the better this world will become, and the better we as a people will become. With the psalmist, I close in prayer this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts would be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Thank you. Our service of holy baptism continues in the Book of Common Prayer on page 301. The candidate for holy baptism will now be presented.
I present Lucy Olivia to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Will you be responsible for seeing that the child you present is brought up in the Christian faith and life?
I will, with God's help.
Will you, by your prayers and witness, help this child to grow into the full stature of Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God?
I renounce them.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior?
I do.
Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love?
I do.
Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? Will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support these persons in their life in Christ?
Yeah.
Let us join with those who are committing themselves to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil? Whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Let us now pray for Lucy Olivia, who is to receive the sacrament of new birth. Lord, hear our prayer.
Open her heart to your grace and truth.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Fill her with your holy and life-giving spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Keep her in the faith and communion of your holy church.
Lord, hear your prayer.
Teach her to love others in the power of the spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Send her into the world in witness to your love.
Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Grant, O Lord, that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection and look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns with you now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. I was going to say, I thought that as we were renouncing and affirming things, that Lucy was joining right in. We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your Son, Jesus, received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we bring into his fellowship those who come to him in faith, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now sanctify this water, we pray you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who are here cleansed from sin and born again may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Name this child?
Lucy Olivia. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Lucy Olivia, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit, you have bestowed upon this your servant the forgiveness of sin and raised her to the new life of grace. Sustain her, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give her an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. In the bottom of page 308, let us welcome the newly baptized. We receive you into the household of God, confess the faith of Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, and share with us in his eternal priesthood. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us greet one another with the peace of Christ. Please be seated. Well, good morning once again and welcome to everyone. Especially would like to extend a warm welcome to any who are visitors today. Glad to have you with us. We do have a visitor card if you would be inclined to fill it out. It's the purple card that's in the pew rack in front of you. You can fill that out, just drop it in the offering plate as it goes by, or you could give it to myself or Deacon Ann LeMay or one of our welcome ministers. And could I ask welcome ministers on duty to stand? They are in the back there, Tiffany and Emily. See one of them, or myself, if you'd like to learn more about St. Luke's. So we had a wonderful event last night. God blessed us with great weather, a great fellowship, a great group of people who came together for Pork and Pino. We did raise money for good causes near and far, and I want to especially thank Dave Ingray, Jim Haddon, Katie Allen, and Caitlin Frederick, who really did a lot of heavy lifting to make that an incredible, beautiful, wonderful event. Thank you all so much. And many thanks to all who donated wine and auction items. Thank you. I'm going to highlight a few more of the announcements. I do encourage you to read them all. Tonight is our contemporary teen-friendly Eucharist service at 5 o'clock Intersect. And if you play an instrument, would like to be part of the band for Intersect, we'd love to welcome you to do that. So let me know. Confirmation class has begun. All students in grades 7th and 8th are invited to participate. And this morning we are going to be in the Allen Room where the piano for the choir rehearses in there with me talking about why are we on this earth. So that's this morning. On Tuesday, I would draw your attention on page 8 to I'm going to be doing the second of my theological travelogues, reports from the summer sabbatical. The focus on this one is the life and theology of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, with pictures from the Bonhoeffer House in Berlin. Hope you can join us this evening. Potluck at 6:30, and then the presentation itself begins at 7:15.
page 11, I draw your attention to the fair news, and especially we're looking for items for the toy chest, so gently used children's toys, books, games, and so on. Also for our attic treasures, I believe we're still looking for items, kind of like the white elephant sort of things that you might be able to bring for that. And you can also see this year we're going to have reindeer rides, so that sounds really fun. Thank you for all who are helping and contributing with the fair. And yes, okay, Allison was going to say a word for it. Thank you, Allison. Tina. Thank you, Tina and Lauren. Thank you, Lauren. Great last minute opportunity there. Not so last minute, but great that we have those openings. And then just a reminder, in the Episcopal Church, for any who might be visiting today, all baptized Christians of any denomination are welcome to receive the Eucharist this morning. And that concludes our announcements. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself in offering and sacrifice to God. Let us with gladness present the offerings and oblations of our life and labor to the Lord.